You know, and here I thought I had my internet issues with my service provider fixed earlier in the day, had a little hiccup. I said, oh, it'll be fixed by the time the Dynamite stream is ready to go on. 5 minutes before. Of course, there has to be an issue. You see this here? This is a copy of my recent internet bill for my current service provider. That's what I think of their fucking service. Let's get going. So you might have seen in the thumbnail a little bit earlier, I was actually going to wear this thing, but then I got so angry I took it off. But for those of you who are asking questions, the mask that you saw in the opening thumbnail right here, it's not a Sub-Zero mask, even though that's what some people thought it was. This is Hayabusa. So if you're ever wondering what Hayabusa Monster looks like, now you know. And yes, I did get this from luchamasks.com. So that's lucha-masks.com. Although I think this one right now is sold out, I believe. This one is sold out. But they have a ton of other masks. And they didn't even pay me to say that. I said it on my own. Although if anybody watching this knows somebody who works for luchamasks.com, you want to put a good word in for me? Good stuff. So let's get to it here. It was the Battle of the Podcast tonight in the main event of Dynamite. It was the Solemn Monster Sounds Off against Talk is Jericho. Here in the main event of Fyter Fest, week two. This is, by the way, your AEW Dynamite review for Fyter Fest here for Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. Your super chats do help support the show, so by all means, I see some of them popping up already. You'll see the special donation amounts in the description down below. For those of you who wish to donate, again, I apologize for the delay at the beginning. I went to literally click the button to start the stream, and it said error. And that's the worst thing you could see before you're about to go live. So I played around a little bit. I got it to work. I only broke a little bit of furniture. I didn't break too much. My blood pressure's up a little bit. Not too high, I hope. Although you might see me combust here in a little bit if I have any other issues. So you guys will have to keep me calm here. This is the final Fyter Fest head-to-head with the Great American Bash. Tonight was night two of both shows, which means the final polls for Fyter Fest and the Great American Bash are up right now at Solemn Monster. You guys can vote. I want to know what you guys think, so go ahead and cast your vote, and we'll take a look at those results a little bit later on. Oh, what a day. What a day. You know what, though? I am happy to say, Optimum, bye-bye. I've already signed up for Verizon Fios. I have a technician coming in the next few weeks. Going to get me signed up for gigabit internet. I'm cutting the cord. No more cable. I'm going to go YouTube TV. No more of this shit. I'm not putting up with this garbage anymore. My bill goes up, up, up. My service goes down, down, down. Who's the idiot? No more. Brian Pillman Jr. Brian Pillman Jr., for those who don't know, made his AEW Dark debut last night in a losing effort to Sean Spears. He says that it will not be the last time we see him in an AEW ring. I hope not. I hope we get to see more of him on AEW television. He is still under contract or has some kind of an agreement, you know, still with MLW. MLW is not running any shows. And so Brian Pillman Jr. wants to broaden his horizons. I say AEW is a good place for him to do so. So hopefully we get to see more of him in the future. But he is still tied in there with MLW. That doesn't mean he's gone from MLW. Back at Daly's Place this week, last week, night one of Fyter Fest, we headlined with the AEW Tag Team titles. This week, night two, we opened with the AEW Tag Team titles. So from the main event 1 week to curtain jerking the next, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, they defended their titles against Private Party, who earned a championship match with a win over Santana and Ortiz last week. And so here we are now, Private Party getting the biggest match of their run so far. Right? Crack of the AEW Tag Team titles. Doesn't get any bigger than that. I thought it was a very fun opener. Match broke down. Private Party with the double Spanish fly on Omega for a near fall. Page blind tagged himself in. Powerbomb Marquen on top of Isaiah Cassidy. You know, Private Party, People have a lot of things to say about Private Party. Oh, they're too quick. They botch things. They got to slow things down a little bit. I didn't think we saw much of that in this match. I thought this was two very evenly matched teams. I thought it was a fun match, fun sprint, you know, for the 10 or 11 minutes that it went. Mark Quinn hit a shooting star press on Page. Omega made it in just in the nick of time to break up the near fall. And we had Kenny Omega and Page blocking the gin and juice. Avalanche Liger Bomb by Page to Cassidy. Followed up by the Buckshot Lariat running knee combo by Hangman and Omega for the win. The finish was never in doubt. You know, Private Party got a big win on TV last week. I guess so did Omega and Page, but finish was never in doubt. I don't know that too many people were predicting a tag team title change. Although, look, we really have not seen much in the way of animosity between Page and Omega in recent weeks. I don't think they've given up on it, but I think they've kind of toned it down a lot. Kind of like what they've done lately with Sasha and Bayley in WWE. They were planting seeds left and right. By and large, they've been getting along very well. But you know the bottom is going to fall out at some point. So I think it's just a matter of time before we get back to it. You could argue that any given week they defend the titles, they could lose them because we figure that's what it's building to. But I never got the impression that that was going to happen tonight. And I think the only reason we even got this match this week is because Jon Moxley was not available. We did not get the AEW title match that's been bumped 1 week, him against Brian Cage next week. And this was a match that I don't believe was planned for this week. You know what? We got a good match out of it. So no complaints from me. Hot opener, good way to start the show. Speaking of a good way to start the show, we had some super chats coming in before I went live. You guys are great. You guys will help calm me down. You guys will help calm me down. You know, we got to get a hashtag started on social media. Fuck Optimum. I like that. I like that hashtag. Chris Quillman could not join us live tonight, but he was kind enough to stop by earlier and drop the $10 super chat. So my thanks to Chris. Cuba, the goat, looking like a Sub-Zero. Again, Hayabusa. Hayabusa, not Sub-Zero. Hayabusa. Food Hive, thank you for the $5. We have Chris Godless Metalhead with the Super Chat, and Steven with the $20. Says, you fought hard tonight. Get you an icy high. Well, you know, it was a hell of an effort in the main event. I gave it my all. I gave it my best. I'm still freaked out, by the way, about that screenshot. I think it was No DQ tweeted out a few days ago. There was some kind of video that was put together of Orange Cassidy, young Orange Cassidy, coming up in the wrestling business, young Orange Cassidy doing backyard wrestling or whatever it was that he was doing. And in that screenshot, I swear to you, you know, it's been like a running joke for a while, but I looked at that picture and I was freaked out. I looked at that picture and I said, if I didn't know any better, I'd say that was me. Except he had some kind of weird championship on his shoulder that I've never seen before. That's where it got a little weird for me. If you didn't see it, go on my Twitter. It's there. Take a look at that screenshot. I don't know how many people have seen photos of me, you know, at that age, but I looked at that image and I thought, this is freaky. This is way too freaky. So I don't know what to make of that. But anyway, Joey Janela against the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer. How am I coming through? Coming through okay? Connection's okay? Calm me down. Tell me I look good. Tell me I sound good. That way I know we're all up and running here. This was a tough one. This was a tough one coming in because on the one hand, you know, Archer should not be struggling too much against Joey Janela. Joey Janela, whether you like the guy or not, has not really been positioned as a key player in this company up to this point. And so for Lance Archer, who did not win the championship from Cody, to come out and have a long competitive match with Joey Janela, you know, I don't know that that really was going to be the best thing for him coming in. But, you don't want to bury Joey Janela, right? So what do? You got to find some kind of happy medium. And I thought, honestly, they did a pretty good job of doing that here. I thought they struck a good balance of keeping Archer dominant, which he was, and he won, but not completely squashing Janela. He's got a little something going on there on TV with Sonny Kiss. Maybe they're going to be a tag team. Maybe Sonny Kiss is going to manage him. I don't know, but there could be something there. You don't want to just squash them outright. So I thought they struck a good balance here between these two. Janela had set up a table outside the ring earlier in the match. That would come into play a little bit later on. Archer beat the hell out of this guy. I mean, he just beat the piss out of this guy, welts all over his back, as he should have, because that's what Lance Archer should be doing. He should be beating people up. Jake Roberts jumped up on the apron, had the snake bag, had the referee distracted. Joey Janela, meanwhile, hit Archer with a senton. Sunny Kiss came off. 450 splash. Referee didn't see any of this. And Janela got a near fall. So Archer picks up the win, blackout off the apron, down through that table I mentioned a little bit earlier on. And Archer rolled him back inside for the win. So, you know, again, good balance here. Archer wins, right outcome, but they didn't outright bury Janela. So it's fine. I was happy with it. We had Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone was mid-ring for an interview with Taz and Brian Cage. Brian Cage will challenge Jon Moxley next Wednesday to Fight for the Fallen for the AEW Championship. But all week, they were promoting a big announcement by Taz. There's going to be some kind of big announcement. What's it going to be? Well, Taz comes out here, and his big announcement is that he has brought back the old FTW title from the old ECW days. We have not seen the FTW title in over 20 years. 1999 is the last time we officially saw the championship on TV, or it was defended in the last century. So he dusted off the old FTW title, the orange and black, and he gave it to Brian Cage so that Brian Cage can walk in to Fight for the Fallen next week with a championship of his own. Even though it's not on the line, now he's got a belt of his own. And I say good. Now it'll cushion the blow when he doesn't win the AEW title next week, which I don't believe he is. And I wouldn't move the title off Moxley anyhow. So now he's got a belt of his own. You know, if he goes in there and he's competitive and he falls a little bit short, all right, well, he's got a championship of his own. I don't know what it means. It's not an officially recognized title. But he's got some hardware of his own. Now, if my memory serves, I wasn't the biggest ECW fan at the time of its original run. But I do remember the FTW title. I believe the champion, I don't know, I don't remember if it was Shane Douglas or if it was Sabu. Might have been Shane Douglas, I think, was injured at the time. And so, out of necessity, they created this FTW title. And it was this title that was not recognized. It was this unofficial championship, and Taz would go around defending it. And that was kind of the genesis of the belt. Stands for fuck the world. That's what FTW is for, not for the win. This is ECW in the 90s, so it was fuck the world. That was the FTW title. I don't know if Cage is going to defend it on TV or not. I don't know if it's there just to be a prop. You know, we'll find out, I guess. I don't think he's winning the belt next week, so again, it's something for him to hold on to. Maybe it's something for him to defend occasionally. This felt to me, it's not really about the championship. This, to me, felt more like a passing of the torch from Taz to Brian Cage. That's really what it felt more like to me. You know, this, the belt itself, I don't think the belt itself has any significance at all. I really don't. I think it's what it represented. And what it represented was Taz back in the 90s used to claim to be the biggest badass walking around. Well, guess what? 21, 22 years later, Taz ain't the biggest badass walking around. Now it's Brian Cage. And this is Taz's way of acknowledging that you are now that person. You are now the person that I can be. Taz can still cut a promo better than anybody else, but Taz ain't going to go out there and, you know, put people in the kata hajime and wrestle them. Taz hasn't wrestled the match in a very long time. So that's what this felt like to me. It felt like it was more about what the moment represented, not the belt itself. The belt itself being unveiled to me was kind of a letdown. I mean, that's the big announcement. The FTW title? But maybe you had to be there. Maybe you had to be a big ECW fan back in the day to truly appreciate it. To me, it was a bit of a letdown. I see this belt in a few months, honestly, going the way of the million-dollar belt when they had Ted DiBiase bestow it upon the ringmaster. He bequeathed the championship to the ringmaster. I see this going the same way. What do you guys think, huh? What do you guys see? Food Hive says me ripping up the cable bill should be a new Super Chat visual. You know what? It might be. It might be. I should have eaten it. Tamara Davis But then it wouldn't be very pleasant tomorrow morning, so maybe it's better I didn't. Tamara just did the same. Bye-bye, Optimum. Hello, Fios. You know, it's funny. I've had this cable provider for cable, for internet, years, 15, 20 years. And not for nothing, the internet, when it works, is really good. I mean, I think it's very reliable. It's quick. You can't get a human being on the phone. I see my bill go up $35 from one month to the next. I want some answers. I haven't been able to get a human being on the phone in 4 days. That's what I think of you. So, Fios, here we come. A few more weeks, we'll have a tech here, and I can kiss them goodbye. I'm very excited about this. Very excited. I think with the Fios, I get like downloads of 800 or 900 with the package I bought. Uploads of like 700 or 800. It's like insane, like insanely, like blazing fast speed. So it should help when it comes to the streams and stuff. I'm very much looking forward to it. Different Perspective Productions with the super chat. Do you feel Joey Janela has been underused in AEW? Probably. It's tough. I think people are kind of where they should be. Like Cody's not in the main events. He's at that TNT title level. Darby, I'd like to see Darby utilize more. Joey Janela, I think he definitely could be doing more than he is. But I don't see Janela as anybody who would be hanging in the top like 5 or 6. I don't see. But he definitely could be doing more than what he's been doing on TV. Jacob Donnelly. Orange Cassidy gave me Daniel Bryan underdog vibes. The man is truly a star. I guess we'll see when the numbers come out tomorrow. And Rodimus Prime with the $15. Thank you, my friend. Always appreciate that. Hope you guys enjoyed the intro, too. At the beginning, it was almost like an afterthought. I just played it out of anger, but I got more of those coming. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope it played well. Trying to spruce up the streams. So now you know where part of your Super Chat money is going to. It's going back into the streams. So, again, your Super Chats are very much appreciated. I'll tell you what else is appreciated. This next match. The Lucha Bros, The Butcher, and The Blade. Taking on Young Bucks and FTR, officially sharing a ring for the very first time ever. Not as adversaries, but they were sharing the ring as partners for the first time ever here in this match tonight. I thought this 8-man tag was just pure insanity, which, given who was involved, I mean, just throw Rey Fénix in there. That's all you need to do. Just put Rey Fénix in the match. Doesn't matter who else is in there. Just put Rey Fénix in there. It's going to be insanity no matter what. Whoa! Holy shit! Whoa! I guess the fireworks are still going on here. July. See, now you know what I'm talking about. I hope you guys heard that. Sounds like Beirut outside my window. I guess people have spare fireworks left over from July 4th. I think I shit myself. I may have wet myself a little bit. Wow. Anyway, I'm all discombobulated now. Nick hit a super Frankensteiner off the top rope. They were talking about what an athlete he is. Jim Ross called him maybe the best pure athlete in all of AEW, which it's hard to argue. I mean, Nick Jackson is... you know, pretty impressive when he's healthy and he's doing his thing in the ring. So we had the Super Frankensteiner to Fénix for a near fall. We had, look, you don't want to take anything away from Matt Jackson either. Matt Jackson also very, very impressive here in this match. He got a tag, standing sliced bread on Fénix. Hit a dive off the post onto the Butcher and the Blade. Hit a top rope elbow onto Fénix for a near fall. We had Dax Harwood, Scott Dawson getting involved. Scott Dawson was impressive. Scott Dawson impressed me here in this match. He blind tagged himself in, hit a DDT onto the Blade. Harwood and Matt hit tandem super kicks. They were working in sync. These guys were playing off each other here. It's almost like they were trying to show each other up here in this match. They were using each other's moves. We had Harwood and Wheeler. They went for their spike pile driver on the Blade. Butcher made the save. And so it was Nick Jackson who completed the spike pile driver. Again, both teams kind of coming together to hit their, or one of their finishers anyway. Harwood and Matt hit a tandem superplex. Wheeler hit a springboard splash. There it is. There it is. Superplex, springboard splash, power and glory. I love it. I love it. The old power and glory finish. Nick followed up with the Swanton bomb. Pentagon broke up the pin. And then, Ray Phoenix hit a springboard Canadian destroyer to Nick Jackson out over the top rope, sent Nick out over the top and onto the pile of just bodies on the floor. I can honestly say that all the times, and this is a move that is used and abused, is the Canadian destroyer. And all of the times I've seen the Canadian destroyer used, and I've seen it used off the top rope, like in Lucha Underground, I've seen a lot of variations of this move. I cannot remember a time where I saw the move executed the way that Ray Phoenix executed that move here tonight. Out of the ring, onto a pile of people. That was insane. That was insane. That was unreal. Matt Jackson with an errant super kick to Harwood, and then the Lucha Bros finished Matt off for the win. And, oh, so you know what that means. That means the Butcher and the Blade were the winners. A rare win for the Butcher and the Blade here on Dynamite, here on this show. The FTR and Bucks combo worked well. They were working well together right up until that miscommunication at the end. So that furthers things along between the two teams for the eventual showdown that, you know, is coming at some point between both teams. And, you know, things are humming along very nicely. They're taking their time. They're not rushing into it. I thought this was great. I thought this was a hell of a friggin' match. I all action. Can't say enough good things about what we saw here in that match. Spanish Goddish, what's going on, man? He says, I predict Alundra Blaze will be Nyla Rose's manager. I have a thought on that. I'm going to get to Nyla Rose here in a second. I'll give you my thought on who I think it is. Jared M., hope Jared's having a good night. $25 drop, thank you. Spanish Goddish again. Did you get the face mask from PW Revolution? No, I got it from luchamasks.com, lucha-masks.com. Yeah, I went on the site earlier, and the Hayabusa one, here it is. Which, again, it's a good material. The only thing is, I would not wear this on a hot summer day. This will come in handy mostly outside in the fall and the winter, because it's heavy. So you can breathe through it, but this is good quality shit. So this is the Hayabusa one. There's a Dragon Lee one. I mean, there's some really nice ones, and a lot of them are sold out. So if you go, I guess you might have to wait a little bit. There are others that are in stock. Somebody told me about it the other day, and I went on. I said, wow, these look pretty cool. And I picked one up. It came right away, and there it is. So sorry I didn't wear it at the beginning. I had it on. I promise you I did. I had it on, but then I had to tend to some internet issues. Patrice Herbert. What's going on? Bob Rouse with the $5. Orange Cassidy really impressed, he said. Marty Bison. M. Bison. I got a super chat from M. Bison. How fucking great is that? M. Bison says, finally caught your live stream. Puppy Battle Royal was great. I missed the Puppy Battle Royal. I was breaking some furniture here. Reekin Son, good old Reekin Son in the chat, who says Lana's mom has COVID. Well, that sucks if that's true. I have not seen that, but I will take your word for it. So that's no bueno. That's no bueno, especially since I figured that we would be seeing Rusev possibly pop up at Slammiversary. I don't know the last time Lana saw her mom, so all of a sudden it becomes a whole web of a whole mess. Potentially a whole mess there, but hopefully she's okay. That is the most important thing. And Justin from Detroit, AEW, with the $20 super chat. Does anybody care about the FTW belt or Colt Cabana? Me personally, I don't really care much about the FTW belt. I like the whole passing of the torch thing, but no. I don't really give a shit. Colt Cabana, I'm not really into this whole Dark Order thing. I'm sorry. It's tough. I can't really get into it. Big Swole. I can get into Big Swole. I like Big Swole. Big Swole was stopped outside the gates of Daly's place and was told that she was being served suspension papers. She was not allowed inside. She was being suspended. We were told by the announcers on commentary that Britt Baker wanted her suspended for kidnapping and harassment, and not for nothing. She's got a point. Britt Baker's got a point. She's not wrong. So Swole was not happy. She drove 3.5 hours. She said, I know who's responsible for this, that trick. Britt Basura Baker. And then she walked off. Not the last time we would see Big Swole. Then we had the Native Beast. Nyla Rose in a handicap match against two women, Kenzie Page and Killian King. She made short work of both women, Beast Bomb to Page, pinned both ladies. After the match, Nyla's big announcement. Everyone's got a big announcement. My big announcement is that I'm going to Verizon Fios. That was my big announcement. I happen to think that that's more exciting than the FTW title, but I'm a little biased in that. Well, Nyla Rose had an announcement of her own. And she's talking about how, you know, Arn Anderson has helped Cody win the U.S. or the TNT title. And we've seen now even Brian Cage has a championship of his own. You know, Taz literally handed him a championship. Like he was Eric Bischoff on Raw in 2002, handing Triple H a championship. She goes, I've got a new manager. This manager, this person is going to help me take back, is going to help me reclaim my AEW women's title from Hikaru Shida. But she wouldn't tell us who the manager is, which is kind of cheap. She has an announcement. I have a manager. I'm not going to tell you who it is. So now all the speculation. You saw one of the super chats thought that maybe Alundra Blaze, Medusa might be. And maybe, you know, Medusa's not under contract anywhere. And Medusa, I could see that. My thought, though, is this. Think about who we've seen on AEW television in recent weeks and recent months. Anybody familiar? Because I think it should be a female. I think it probably is a female. Who's a familiar female face that we've seen on Dynamite or Dark in recent months? Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero is my guess as to who the manager is going to be for Nyla Rose. I don't believe she indicated when she was going to reveal to us who it is, so I don't know how long we're going to have to wait, but if I had to take a guess, I think Vicky Guerrero is as good a guess as any. She's been seen on Dynamite. You know, apparently she's on WWE, or she believes she's on WWE's shit list, so she's in the AEW family now. Could be Vicky. I already see the God no comments in the chat. Well, I didn't say she would be my pick. I just said that I think that she may be the pick. I'd have to give that some more thought as far as who I would want in that role. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Solomonster versus Optimum at Fight for the Fallen for the internet bill on a pole match. Yeah, I'll let them win. They could take that bill. I'll take the L. I've been taking the L for the last 15 years. Fuck them. Jay Shady. Solomonster equals Mateless Simpleton, LMFAO, get a life. So he gave me money to insult me. Doesn't sound like a very bright person. Sounds like a moron to me. Who does that? Who gives money to somebody to insult them? Well, thank you. Thank you, Jay Shady. Thank you for the contribution. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that you are tuned into the stream tonight. And you are hanging on my every word. That's what people like you do. Talk crap, watch every show, listen to every fucking thing I have to say, then give me money on top of that. You know who does that? You know the kind of person who does that? A brain damaged person. That's who does that. So we do have a lot of brain damaged people on the internet. That I have found out. Inner Alchemist. Yeah. Thank you for the super chat. Meltzer was wrong. He says no TNT title defense tonight. I didn't even know Meltzer said there was going to be a TNT title defense tonight, but okay, there you go. Meltzer is wrong. Believe it or not, from time to time, Meltzer is wrong. And Prince Walker, thank you for the $10. And he said he tuned into NXT in the last 5 minutes of the show. So, yeah, no spoilers here, although I guess the spoilers were already out there, so you don't really need me to spoil anything for you. SCU. We had SCU against Mr. Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, and Stu Grayson. Cabana sustained a hematoma last week. I guess he took a hard bump in the storyline. He took a bump into the railing and he had a big bruise on his body. And so he was medically cleared, but didn't look like he was in good shape. Brody Lee came in and said, good. I'm happy to hear it. Because you're teaming with me tonight. So out he went. Excalibur mentioned something very interesting here. Almost as like an afterthought that was thrown in, but it's important. Mentioning that Kazarian and Daniels have decided that they're going to be a tag team going forward. So we've seen Kazarian and Scorpio Sky, right, for many months. They've been the team representing SCU. That has changed now. Daniels and Kazarian, the original team, they're back together. And apparently Scorpio Sky is going to be focusing more on his singles career, which makes sense. I think Scorpio Sky has potential as a single. I could see him as a, you know, TNT champion at some point down the road. And it makes sense. Again, you know, Tony Khan is said to be a big fan of his. So, I mean, look, he was stuck in neutral as a tag team guy. He had done all he can do. You want to move on to the next level, you gotta get into the singles rank. So I actually think that's a good move. That's a good move. Stu Grayson impressed me in this match. I thought he was the star of the match. Kazarian hit Grayson with a slingshot cutter. Lee hit the boss man slam on Kazarian. And Daniels with the tope to Brody Lee. Daniels hit Grayson with a moonsault. Cabana broke up the pin. Brody Lee jumps in, hits Daniels with the discus lariat. And he commands Stu Grayson to tag out to Colt Cabana so that he could come in and get the pin, which he was more than happy to do. He obliged. And so Colt Cabana picks up the win for the Dark Order. I thought the match was good. I'm still really not much of a fan of the storyline. I don't care. Like, I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me. It's something for Colt Cabana to do, but I can't say that I'm really excited by any of this. But look, as Excalibur mentioned in storyline, ever since he walked into Brody Lee's office, Colt Cabana has been undefeated. He has not lost the match. He was a loser. Up to that point, he was a loser. So far in AEW. And he has not lost the match since. Big Swole somehow got inside the building. She went up to where Britt Baker was, I guess, in her Rolls Royce. She folded up, I think it was the suspension papers, threw the papers in her face. Britt Baker sold this like she was shot, like a shotgun blast to the face. She covered her face. You would think that she was shot. She took a direct hit to the face, the way she oversold this. Shouldn't be much longer, by the way, before she's ready to come back. If you remember when she got hurt, I think they were saying it would be about 6 months. Six weeks. It's been about 6 weeks. So I think one of these weeks, she's going to just surprise everybody and pop up and just, you know, beat down Big Swole, some kind of vicious attack. She'll be, you know, standing up again. So watch for that, because it's about that time that she should be ready to come back. And then it was main event time. But before we get to the main event, we've got a few more. We've got a few more here. The Wrenches will take care of it. The Wrenches in the chat, if you guys know what to do. Lord Frieza with the $5. I started with Fyter Fest, but after that letdown of an announcement by Taz, I stayed with NXT. Wow, so he actually switched over midway through the show to NXT. Laxus Dryer chiming in with the super chat. Spanish Goddess, the Good Brothers are heading to Impact. EC3, I still hope, goes to AEW. I'm thinking it's going to be Impact. I still think also that's probably the best fit for him. But could he pop up in Cody's open challenge? As of July 18th or so, I think all their, you know, the non-compete clauses are up. So we may start to see some interesting faces pop up on Dynamite in that open challenge. And Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder, is probably going to be one of them. He and Cody are very tight, so I would expect to see him on Dynamite very soon. And Laxus Dryer again with the super chat. Dry chicken without flavor. I can see Jericho versus Tyson being built for Double or Nothing 3. That's a long ways off, though. That's a very long time. It's too long. All right, we'll get to the rest of these in a second. It was main event time. It was Chris Jericho against Blood Orange Cassidy. Earlier in the week, Chris Jericho made a very bold comment made a very bold comment on his Twitter in reference to this match against Orange Cassidy here on this show. He said that this is one of the best matches that I have had in my 30-year career. And think about the ground that that covers. One of the best matches I've had in my 30-year career. He was trying to hype it up. You know, he was trying to hype up the show, hype up the main event. But I thought to myself, wow, maybe this match really did kind of blow people out of the water. I mean, my God, think of all the great matches that Chris Jericho's had. So I watched this main event, and I enjoyed the main event. I thought it was very good. By no means was it anywhere close to being even in the conversation of best matches of Chris Jericho's 30-year career. Now, he may think that. Maybe he honestly believes that. I think it was just his way of trying to hype it up. They got spooked by the ratings stuff in recent weeks, and he really wanted to just tell people, oh, you got to watch this show. It's going to be one of my best matches ever. It was not one of his best matches ever. It was very good. But no, it was not one of Chris Jericho's best matches of his career. Orange Cassidy opened. Just a flurry of offense, hands in the pockets. That will never not be impressive. Some of the things he can do with his hands in his pockets, I know people are annoyed by it, but just athletically, it's impressive. The things he could do, it's dangerous, but it's impressive. So I thought that was cool. Santana and Ortiz, they were out there at ringside. They threw a cheap shot at Cassidy early on to give Jericho the advantage. Late in the match, Jericho gives OC a hard check off the apron into the metal barricade. I mean, somebody mentioned earlier, you know, that Orange Cassidy kind of reminded him of Daniel Bryan a little bit in terms of him being positioned tonight as the underdog. I can see that. I won't make the comparison to Daniel Bryan. He was an underdog. You know, Daniel Bryan was not the first underdog in professional wrestling. There have been a lot of people over the years who have played that role. And that's what he did tonight. I thought he did a good job of it. I wouldn't make the comparisons, though, to Daniel Bryan. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. Late in the match, Jericho gave him, after the check off the apron, Jericho went for a superplex attempt. Cassidy threw him down to the mat, and he came off with a splash of his own for a near fall. Huge dive out of the ring by Cassidy. Took out Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz in one fell swoop. Took them all out. Back inside, the diving DDT to Jericho gets him a near fall. So now things are really picking up, right? We're getting into the final moments of this match here. Jericho gets him in the walls of Jericho. He's struggling. He's reaching for the ropes. He's inching. He's crawling. He's almost there. And Jericho pulls him back into the center of the ring. As he pulls him back into the center of the ring, Cassidy gets through, cradles him for a near fall. I think it might have been Santana outside. Threw orange juice in Orange Cassidy's face. That brought out best friends to fend off Santana and Ortiz. Jericho, meanwhile, grabbed the bat. He grabbed Floyd, hit Orange Cassidy in the face with it, hit the code breaker. That should have been it. I mean, a baseball bat to the face and then one of your finishing moves, that should be the end. But it wasn't. He kicked out. I wouldn't have done that, but he kicked out. Lion Salt misses by Jericho. Michinoku driver by OC only gets two. And then out of nowhere, the Judas Effect. Nobody has ever kicked out, I don't believe, of the Judas Effect. It's a spinning elbow. It is the simplest move. And they have protected it. It is one of the most protected finishers in all of wrestling. Because when you're Jericho's age, Jericho's not getting any younger, right? He's in his late 40s. He's bordering on 50, I think. And so what do, right? Because eventually you're not going to be able to keep doing the lion salts and all these different, you know, moves. Spinning elbow. You could do a spinning elbow when you're in your 60s. It's smart. It's smart. It's like Big Show later in his career, the knockout punch, right? I bet Hogan regrets dropping that leg for all those years. Maybe he wouldn't have had 9 back surgeries. He kept compressing his spine, or Stone Cold dropping the stunner. You got to start to think about these things. They've done a good job, though, of protecting that move. So he got the pin. Look, I like Orange Cassidy, but there's no reason that Chris Jericho should have lost this match. It would have been a big mistake for Jericho to lose. Orange Cassidy was competitive. Jericho won. The right man won. A very good match, by no means the best match or one of the best matches of Jericho's career. Not even close, but it was good. It was good. Skywalker, is the song Stand Back by Vince McMahon a guilty pleasure of yours? Yeah, I'd say it is. I'd say it is. Oz and Glorious. Where is dry chicken? He wants to know where dry chicken without flavor is. He was about four super chats behind you. Stu, the wood carving druid, joined the Dark Order, he says. Nah, I'd rather not. And Taylor E with the $10. Thank you, Taylor. I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. Now, next week, it is Fight for the Fallen. Just because Fyter Fest is over doesn't mean that we're done. They're stacking the show next week. It's Fight for the Fallen on July 15th. Cody defends the TNT title in the Open Challenge against who? We don't know. Although, I don't believe it'll be anybody from the WWE releases because I don't know the exact date that the non-competes would be up, but it's, I think, right after that. So I don't think it'll be anybody from that crew, but who knows? Who knows? FTR faces off with the Lucha Bros. That's going to be good. That's going to be the show stealer. That's the sleeper match next week. The Elite, Kenny Omega, Young Bucks against Jurassic Express. Well, You know what? That could be the sleeper match. That could be the match of the week right there. And Jon Moxley defends the AEW Championship against Brian Cage. Brian Cage's biggest match so far in his young AEW career. I don't see a title change. I really hope they don't. I just don't think it's the right time. I don't think Cage is the right person. He's got his own title. He don't need the AEW title. He's got his own three-letter belt. So I think Jon Moxley is going to retain. But again, they're stacking things up pretty good for next week. So, look, that's what you got to do, right? When you're in a war, when you're in head-to-head competition, that's what you got to do. You got to stack, man, you got to stack the deck a little bit. You got to put your best foot forward. But that's a hell of a card. Now, what you see on your screen is a hell of a giveaway. WrestleRumble.com. You guys are going to want to know about this. WrestleRumble.com is hosting its Six Marks the Spot Pick'em contest for WWE Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules, the horror show. It's coming up on July 19th. Last month, if you remember the contest, it was one grand prize winner. This time around, we're picking three. We are picking three. Three winners. Six championship belts, the ones on your screen, are being given away. And all it costs you is $1. $1 to enter. That's it. You can enter as many times as you want. For $1 per entry, the third place winner is going to receive a replica Stone Cold Smoking Skull belt. The second place winner gets two titles. The classic WWF world title, which also a lot of people call that the Hogan 86 belt. Hogan 87 belt. Doesn't really get a lot of love, but I like it. I think it's a good looking belt. Not only do you get the Hogan 86, 87 era belt, but you also get my favorite, the Winged Eagle. And the first place, I mean, shit, I would almost want to lose and become the second place winner. Not for nothing. I would take a dive. I would take a dive and be the second place winner. But the first place grand prize winner gets not one, not two, but three championship belts. The WCW United States Championship, the classic WWE U.S. title, not the new one that they just debuted, and the IWGP United States title. These drawings are getting bigger and bigger every month. Yours truly will have the great honor of hosting the live drawing on YouTube live during my Extreme Rules recap next Sunday, and all winners will have their championship belt shipped out via FedEx the very next day. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to WrestleRumble.com, enter now, be sure to tweet at WrestleRumble after you enter, and let them know that you heard about it right here on The Sound Off. There's your AEW poll. 79, roughly 79% thumbs up, 21% thumbs down. So you guys seem to enjoy Fyter Fest. What'd you think about the Great American Bash? 76% thumbs up, 24% thumbs down. So another good night of wrestling. Another good night of wrestling. Very, very curious after what happened last week to see what these ratings. Yeah, you'll have these people. Who cares about ratings? Who cares about ratings? Ratings don't matter. Well, you know what? It's fun to see the numbers come in and see everybody freak out. That's what I look forward to on Thursday afternoons. Everybody freaks out about the numbers get tweeted, and everybody has a meltdown about the ratings. We get some funny memes out of it. That's what I look forward to the most. So anyway, that's coming up. That is coming up. And what we will do now is go to some of your calls. And let's see what you guys thought tonight of Fyter Fest. Let's see what you guys thought of... let me see here. I got logged out. So we don't have any calls. We don't have any calls. We were logged in. We got logged out. But don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it right now. I know you guys have been dying to call in, so don't you worry. We are going to take care of it right now. I guess that goes hand in hand with what happened earlier when I started the stream over and got disconnected, but it's all good. It is all good. In the meantime, you guys can talk amongst yourselves in the chat while I take care of all this for you. And then we'll get going here in just a second. Always a fun part of the stream. Actually, we do have a caller. We do have a call. All right, here we go. I think we have callers coming in. I don't know if this is going to work. No, this probably isn't going to work. All right, let me log in here. I thought I could cheat. Silly me. Yeah. Gotta love these prompts. All right, there we go. I am the host. There's all my calls. Look at that. Like magic. It all pops up. We got a whole bunch of people in here. And the first person I'm going to go to is 713. I hope this works. 713.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's Motormouth, man.
Hey, Motormouth. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I just want to say I'm one of your biggest fans. Even like I watch your show on Sunday, but during the week I might watch random episodes from back then. I've seen every one of your episodes. Biggest fan, man. That's all I got to say about that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, ain't no problem, man. Hey, I was saying, you know how everybody's worried about WWE, you know, taking all the talent and things like that. They're the company that takes talent. Well, how do you feel that since it's not AEW, we got guys like Darby and all those other like mid-card guys that are like, they could be like top stars, you know? How do you feel about, you know, WWE might take a few of their talents? Like, what if those guys aren't happy? They want more money. You think WWE is going to get like maybe one, two, or a couple talents of AEW?
I don't see why. Well, yeah, one day. Look, it's inevitable, right? At some point, their contracts are going to be up, and there are going to be people who want to jump to greener pastures. Maybe it's money. Maybe that's what they're interested in. I get the sense that people, you mentioned Darby. I mean, Darby was pretty negative about going to WWE and what he thought they would do with him. So I never say never. I know Darby had that falling out with Gabe Sapolsky and Evolve, and you know, if something were to happen in AEW one day, then maybe he leaves AEW. But I don't really see any incentive for any AEW people to go anywhere in the near future. But a year from now, you know, 2 years from now, yeah, I mean, look, it's inevitable. Some people are going to jump. You know, you're not going to keep your roster together forever. Right now, why would they leave? Why would they leave right now?
I know since the pandemic and all that, you know, that's going to stop everything. But I'm guessing when all that's over, I mean, you think one day, just like when their contract's up and WWE just gives them, who knows, they just might, you know, throw them a lot of money and they're going to take it. Like Darby, there's a few guys that seem like they're unhappy there and they look like taking like Kip Sabian. He could be like, they have a lot of great talent there, mid card, but they could be top guys. I feel like
no.
They got a lot of good
action. I mean, look, the talent is there. You mentioned Kip. I mean, Kip Sabian is a top guy. You think Kip Sabian going to WWE and they're going to make him a top guy? Have you watched WWE? Are you familiar at all with some of these people that have gone from NXT to the main roster? Look at Rick Oshay. in WWE. You think Kip Sabian would be positioned in any kind of major role? Kip Sabian would be added to the 205 Live roster. He'd have a little run for himself in NXT. You know, if he came in with Penelope Ford, it'd be like Mark Merrow and Sable all over again. They'd be like, oh, Kip, okay, good, yeah. Penelope could be a star. Penelope Ford seems like somebody that they would take a look at and be like, all right, we could work with this. Like, this woman could be a star. And she was very impressive in her title match with Sheeta last week. Kip Sabian Darby, yes. Darby, I think, could be something even in WWE. If not, then they're idiots, because I think you could definitely position him as an upper. I look at a Darby Allin, honestly, like a Jeff Hardy type. And if Jeff Hardy could be popular and Jeff Hardy could be a world champion, which he was, why can't Darby Allin? Why? Because he's a few inches shorter? Who gives a shit? Darby Allin has something. He has a way of connecting with the audience, like Hangman Page was doing before all the audiences went away. Hangman Page could be a big star. Darby Allin could be a big star. But when you get to, like, Janela or you get to Kip Sabian, oh, they'll go to WWE and be a big star. I think you're giving WWE too much credit. I don't see that at all. I think that would be a big mistake. Let's go to, he's gone. Okay, we won't go to him. Let's go to 760.
Hey, what's up, Skull Monster? It's Noel. How's it going?
Hey, Noel.
So, good show today. I really enjoyed Fyter Fest, although I did not watch the entire show because once it got to main event time, I actually changed the channel and switched it over to NXT because I wanted to watch Adam Cole versus Keith Lee.
Well, no spoilers, but just tell me.
Oh, don't worry.
How was the match? Was the match worth going out of your way to see if you're somebody who was on the fence about watching it?
Yeah, definitely. I won't spoil anything. As far as the match itself goes, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good match, although I think I was hoping to expect a little bit more given this was a big main event match where it was title for title. But I'm not saying it was horrible. I still think it was a good showing. Both Keith Lee and Adam Cole just, you know, they just delivered. So yeah, I think it's worth watching.
Any other thoughts from any of the stuff tonight or anything else you want to say before I let you go?
Yeah, that tag team match, you know, Lucha Brothers and Butcher and the Blade versus FTR and the Young Bucks, you know, that was a hell of a match. Although I will say the ending was unexpected. I honestly thought that the Young Bucks and FTR were getting the win. So I did not, you know, just getting a match where we have, you know, the Lucha Bros and Butcher and the Blade getting the win was just out of nowhere, but great match, solid stuff. And you know what? I'm glad the Lucha Brothers are back because I'm missing them. They're a great tag team. And I know, you know, because of the pandemic and everything, Pentagon was gone. Ray Phoenix did come back, but then he got injured, but now they're both back. So that's happy. That's a happy thing. You know, I love seeing some Lucha Bros. They're great.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it wasn't really a surprise just because I mean, it's obvious where they're going to go with the Bucks and FTR. And so what do? You make them lose and you build more tension between them. So I kind of expected that to be the finish, but by far the best thing on the show tonight, I thought. I mean, don't tell Chris Jericho that. He'll be very offended, but I thought that was easily the best thing on the show.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Real quick question before I go.
Mm-hmm.
I know next week at Fight for the Fallen, we are going to get the Jon Moxley versus Brian Cage match. Now, Brian Cage now has the, you know, the FTW belt around his waist that Taz gave to him. So, and I pretty much figure that Brian Cage is not winning. I'm picking Moxley to retain. So what I want to ask you is, when that match is all said and done, where do both guys go from there? Who do you think is going to challenge Moxley for the title next? And what do you think is going to happen with Cage now that he has, you know, this FTW belt, you know, because I'm glad you mentioned the $1 million championship, because that's kind of like what I thought, you know, well, this is probably going to be like a gimmick type of belt. Like, honestly, I was kind of thinking of the last time we saw the $1 million championship when Ted DiBiase Jr. Revived it in WWE.
Yeah, what a waste that was.
You know, oh yeah, I agree. So I don't know, like, I don't know. Do you see anybody like challenging Brian Cage for the FTW belt and kind of like making it like the unofficial title pretty much like the Million Dollar Championship? You know, what do you think is going to go on with both Cage and Mox after their match?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of Moxley, I don't have the rankings. I should bring him up right now. I'll bring him up now. But I think MJF would make the most sense. I don't know where MJF is in the men's rankings, since they try to go by those rankings. So I'm just going to take a look at them real quick and just see where he is. MJF, you could have gone with him. Maybe it was too soon. You could have gone with him even to Double or Nothing. And so they didn't. And I just assumed that, you know, that was, you know, probably just because they wanted to hold off maybe until All Out. It would strike me as, you know, that he would make sense. Now, these rankings have not been updated in a week. This is saying July 1st. But let's take a look anyway. Let's take a look at the men. This is not loading. Come on, load. Here we go. Hey, AEW, your website is no good. Here we go. Well, there it is. I mean, there's your answer. I mean, MJF is number one. He's ranked above Brian Cage, Lance Archer, Brody Lee, and Chris Jericho, bringing it up the rear at number five. So that's my answer. I think MJF is going to be the one to challenge next for the championship. As far as Brian Cage and the FTW title, you know, if he defends the title, and we don't know if he's going to defend it, or I assume he's going to defend it at least a few times. Darby Allin, they had another vignette for Darby Allin tonight. He did another dive from a very high place. He did a coffin drop into a pile of whatever it was, foam. Like something you would see at, like a children's play center or something. And the last time we saw him, I believe, would have been a Double or Nothing, if I'm not mistaken, and he was being assaulted by Brian Cage. So Darby coming back and going after Brian Cage for revenge would strike me as being something that would make sense, and he could be first in line maybe to challenge for the FTW title. I like the idea of him eventually being the first person to unseat Cody for the TNT title. He can't beat Cody. You know, he's had three matches, I think, with him, and I think two losses and one draw. He's got to win at some point. But in the meantime, he can go one-on-one with Cage, you know, TNT title, why not? So you wanted my answer, that's what I would do. I think that makes sense. Got some more super chats here to run through. You guys are supporting the stream big time, so just know that I appreciate all of your contributions. Dry chicken without flavor. The New Japan Cup had some bracket busters. I'm still upset that Sonata got bounced. I wonder if all this stuff didn't happen and the New Japan Cup took place in March as it was originally supposed to. I don't know if the outcome changed. If Sonata would have won, I'm going to maintain that Sonata would have won. I think he would have won. Psycho Jet Black, you look like Johnny Cage from Mortal Kombat. I look like a lot of people, apparently. Edwin Cardenas with the $5 super chat. Thank you, sir. Natural Born Thriller with the $10. Taz's big announcement from earlier tonight should have been about Brian Cage's wife announcing her own cookbook. Ah, that would have been clever. That would have sucked as a big announcement, but that would have been clever, right? Then we can get a mixed tag. I want to see John Moxley and Renee Young against Melissa Santos and Brian Cage. I want Renee Young and Melissa Santos in the ring one-on-one together. I don't know. You know, Melissa Santos, I think, could probably hold her own. Renee Young, we've never seen Renee Young wrestle before. I don't know if it would be Trish and Lita. I don't know if it would be Charmel and Jenna Maraska from TNA, by far one of the worst matches of all time. I feel like it could go either way. Hangman Charlie, hope everything is well for you in Brooklyn. And Dry Chicken again. I believe Kenny Omega secretly loves working with Private Party. Omega shook Marquand's hand. Yeah, I mean, he probably enjoys working with all the young guys. It's one of the reasons why people have been complaining. You know, we haven't gotten the Kenny Omega that people thought we were going to get when he left New Japan to come to AEW, because it seems like half the time he's focused on other people, you know, not himself, which is very noble. But the people want to see that Kenny Omega. I think we'll get him. I think we'll get him back at some point. Just got to be patient, but we'll get him back. 205.
Hey, Jason, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I thought I'd cheer you up a little bit tonight, and I did some sleuthing. You know that loud pop that you heard outside your apartment?
Oh, I heard, yes. I think the whole world heard it.
That was coming all the way from Connecticut. That was Vincent Mann dropping the ball on Shayna Baszler.
Dropping the ball on Shayna Baszler or dropping a bomb on his entire roster at the Performance Center. I guess you can go either way with it. Yeah, you know, Shayna Baszler, I hear that she's off looking for some new victims to bite. You know, she's a vampire, after all. Main roster Shayna Baszler is a vampire, so I guess that's what she's off doing. It's just another in a very sad line of examples of what can happen when you do make your way from NXT to the main roster. Some guys will do well. And then you have the others who, unfortunately, through no fault of their own, end up in a bit of a different situation. I think that's just such a waste, but what are you going to do, right? What the hell are you going to do?
Yeah, you can only go so far when you have one person that, even though you have a creative team, one person still makes the final decision at 75 years old.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know some people say, Shayna Baszler's boring. What do you care? What do you see in Shayna Baszler? Look, I mean, you mean to tell me that on a 3-hour show, there's no role for her? There's no segment for her? We got 4 segments of Big Show 2 weeks ago. We can't get one segment with Shayna Baszler? I find that hard to believe. If you can't find a place for her on that roster, then you have no business working in that company. You have no business working on the creative team. And look, maybe it's not their fault. Now, maybe they came up with ideas for her and they were rejected. But if, even as a fan, if you can't come up with something for her to do or a place for her on the show, you have 3 hours of TV time, then you need to hit the bricks.
That is true. And you know, that actually provides a good segue, because with women's wrestling being as prevalent as it is, it made me think, since WWE has bought Evolve and going to try to merge them with NXT in the main roster, I was thinking, with the closing of Chikara, do you think that AEW can make the same decision and utilize some of their wrestlers to strengthen their women's division so that they can give people like Nyla Rose and Big Swole and the like more people to wrestle?
It's possible. I mean, the problem is a lot of women who are not able to, who they have, you know, who are under contract, who are working for AEW, who simply are not able to travel at the moment. You know, Anna Jay is another one. Anna Jay, we saw her come back a couple of weeks ago. We haven't seen her since. And I don't know if that has to do with COVID. I don't know if that has to do with something else. I don't think the issue is that they don't have women's talent. They just have to do, you know, they have to do a better job, I guess, of just utilizing them on Dynamite more often, switching them up a little bit, but they need access to them. So if they have a whole bunch of women that they can't use at the moment, you know, the women are there. They don't need to necessarily go out and bring in another half a dozen women. Like, I like the fact that Big Swole is getting a push on TV. I'm very entertained by Britt Baker every week. So the Britt Baker, Big Swole stuff to me is entertaining. Big Swole deserves a chance to, you know, get some of that shine on her a little bit. And, you know, again, the talent is there. You just got to do a better job of putting the pieces together. But could they afford to bring in, you know, one or two more faces, female faces? Sure. I don't think they need this huge influx. Though, you got to make use of what you got. You know, make use of what you have. All right. Let's go to 276. There we go. 276.
Hey, what's up, my man? Solar Monster, what's up, my man?
What's going on?
Hey, man. Good to talk to you as always. Can I get a freshly squeezed from you?
Freshly squeezed?
Yeah, that's my man. You got to admit, man, like, since Sammy got suspended, it's a little disappointing in AEW, man. Like, I miss Sammy, man. Like, that was my boy.
Well, I mean, he'll probably be back soon. I can't imagine he's going to be gone for too long. Maybe another month or two, maybe, and I think he'll be back.
Do you think that they'll break up the Inner Circle? Because Santana and Ortiz are kind of like nothing,
oh.
And then... Yeah. Hager losing to Cody. So what, I mean, like, you got Jericho and that's really about it. Like, Sammy was the strong piece behind that.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same without Sammy. The thing about the Inner Circle, though, is that even when they had Sammy, like, it's kind of surprising to me. I understand that Jericho, you know, a lot of the stuff they do, they play up for laughs and stuff like that. But as a top heel faction, they've just been portrayed as such losers. You know, like Santana and Ortiz, very talented. They lose a lot more than they probably should. Jake Hager, they probably do a better job of making him out to be a big deal. I mean, he's also lost. I don't care for Hager. I think Hager just standing there as the silent bodyguard for Jericho is the right role for him. But, you know, aside from Jericho, like Santana and Ortiz lose, Sammy loses a lot, but he can probably get away with it because he's very entertaining. I would like to see
Sammy's
him. I would. I'm going to let you go, but I would like to see him win a little more often. But Sammy is great. You know, he's kind of the lighthearted entertainment of the show. And when he comes back, I don't know if they're just going to slot him right back, you know, where he was, or are the Inner Circle going to gang up on him and beat him up and turn him babyface? I don't really need to see babyface Sammy Guevara. I'm more interested in seeing him kind of go back to the role he was in before. Maybe even resume whatever he was going to do with Matt Hardy. We never did get to see anybody go to the Hardy compound. I thought that that's what they were building to. I thought they were building to some kind of match at the Hardy compound, like Elite and Matt against Inner Circle, or even just doing Matt and Sammy. I don't know if that was the direction, and then what happened kind of derailed that. I don't know. But I'd like to see them get back to that, because I feel like you've got Matt Hardy on the roster, and he... Yeah, he's kind of limited physically in what he can do, so he's playing up the character. Got to do something. You got to do some kind of final deletion type stuff, especially now. Why wouldn't you? Of all the times to do stuff like that, now would be the time. We're getting cinematic matches up the ass. I mean, left and right, mostly from WWE. But to not do something at the Hardy compound seems like kind of a waste. That's kind of how I feel about it. 631.
Hey, what's up, Jason? How you doing, man? It's Scott out of Long Island, brother.
Hey, Scott.
I thought it was a great show. I was surprised at how the second half of Fyter Fest went compared to last week, especially losing the title match tonight. I thought they did a great exposition of tag matches, whether it was the 8-man or, you know, the other two tag matches that went on. They went tag match 6-man, 8-man, which was phenomenal. But to get to the last caller, like he was saying, I think he's kind of on some sort of a right path. Like, think about what's gone on in the last few weeks. And AEW is very good at adapting to the culture and what's going on. If Sammy would have come back, I mean, he's already, you know, like, people wanted the guy fired, you know, compared to what penalty he had. I understand he's indefinitely suspended, but say it's a month or 2 months and he's able to come back, he's easily able to turn the Inner Circle heel on Jericho, to which could turn Jericho, you know, the ultimate face.
See, I don't see
and
it
as
that.
We've already talked about.
We've already
talked about the Elite going heel.
Yeah.
You know, like with the Bucks and Kenny, or either Kenny or Hangman is got to turn one of the two when they break up.
Hey,
I think it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
To think about Jericho being face and maybe the Inner Circle staying heel and Sammy kind of getting, maybe not, obviously not holding the title or anything, but maybe the heel face of that group.
See, I don't see.
Or maybe he's the guy that does beat Cody.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I wouldn't mind. I don't see him displacing Jericho in that group. Because I don't see Sammy as being ready for that role. I think Sammy in the supporting role, supporting comedy role, that was perfect for him. He's like the young gun of the group. Like Jericho took him under his wing, right? Young kid, 22, 23, whatever he is, 24. to displace Jericho, have Jericho become face on his own, and Sammy leads the group. I can't see that. I just don't think that's the right move to make. And again, if anything, I'm not even saying I would like them to do this, but I would see it the opposite. I would see them, you know, Sammy's back, right? So Sammy Guevara comes back, and they're all, like, embracing him in open arms. Hey, Sammy's back. Maybe they even throw a comeback party for him, like a welcome home party. And it's, like, this big segment on Dynamite. And then at the very end, they drop the bomb on this kid, and they beat the shit out of him. And it's, like, a really hardcore beatdown, bloody him up a little bit. That would make him a sympathetic babyface coming out of it. I just don't know that I'm ready for that yet. I think there's more to do with him in the same role he had before. But I think there's a more of a likelihood of something like that happening than him being the one to displace Jericho. Even Jericho, I don't want to see Jericho go be a face. Jericho's perfect in this role. Like, Jericho eventually will be a babyface. But I would not pull that trigger right now. I think that's a little premature. Somebody says he's 20. Is he 26? All right, maybe he's 26. I guess Sammy's 26. That's still young. That's a lot younger than Jericho. No offense to Jericho, but... George Romani dropped a $50 bomb during that phone call. I gotta acknowledge him. So George pops up here usually, maybe, I don't know about every week, but he has dropped some big super chats before, and so he is one of the loyal listeners here on the channel. So I want to say thank you to him. That was very cool. That means a lot, George. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. I appreciate Jared calling in as well. What's going on, man?
How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing well.
Guess what? I have Optimum too.
Do you? Oh yeah. So you know my pain then, don't you?
Yeah. Sometimes working from home, I don't think I have the setup that you do. You're in your apartment, but in my house, just I don't want to pay that bill every month. And I just try not to, I look for any reason not to pay that bill, because in my area of Suffolk County, Melville, right on the border of Nassau and Suffolk, I can't get BIOS here. I can't get Verizon here.
Yeah.
In my development.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like in Manhattan, like if you live in New York City in Manhattan, I don't even think you can get Optimum. You get Spectrum. So like each area, you're kind of limited in what you can get. And, you know, again, I really didn't have any issues, but I had people making fun of me for the longest time. Like, why are you paying so much money for cable? Cut the cord, get YouTube TV or get Sling. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm getting YouTube TV. That'll take care of the TV stuff. I get USA so I can watch Raw, although I don't know why I'd want to. And then I get TNT so yeah. I can watch Dynamite. And then you get some of the other, you know.
You have to watch Raw so I could know the results.
Yeah, you know,
That's your job, man.
I got a text message from a friend, one of my good friends, actually. I got a text message from a friend of mine who, actually, the way we met was in high school. We've been friends since high school, and we only became friends because we were the only two people who watched wrestling at the time. He's more of a casual fan now, but he just texted me the other day. Yeah. He goes, dude, even the YouTube clips that I check after work are boring. He goes, thank you for doing your shows, because he listens to my shows so he can keep up with what's going on. And I saw the Raw ratings this week. I saw they just set another rate. I think second lowest of all time. It just keeps going down, down, down.
And no, I love how you, I don't know if it was this weekend or last Sunday, how you explained how you watch Raw. It's in the background. That's why you don't tweet about it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't have it on in the background. I mean, it's just Michael Cole's, voice.
If you're watching on camera right now, that TV I'm pointing to right there, that TV, the glowing television that you see, That's where the magic is. That's where Raw magically comes on the screen. It's not the most ideal set. My back is turned usually when it's on. It's kind of a pain. But, you know, I don't know how that's going to work now. This is kind of an old TV. So I don't believe that YouTube TV, I know, YouTube TV is not native on this television. And so I'm not sure if I will be able to cast from the YouTube TV app on my phone, if that's going to work, or if I got to buy some kind of stick. So maybe somebody can advise me on that. I had just thought about that. I probably should have thought about that before I put the order in. But yeah, I mean, I have it on a lot of times. I'm working, and it's just kind of like osmosis. I just kind of absorb it, but I can't. It's just very hard to get into a lot of what they're putting out on TV. You know, some stuff is okay, but it's hard. It's very, and I can understand why people email me all the time and go, I gave up. I just listened to your podcast or this guy's YouTube show or that guy's YouTube show. I'm getting a lot of emails about this. This is a real phenomenon.
Jason,
you're seeing it in the numbers. You're seeing it in the numbers now.
Ever since they went 3 hours and when they buried Damian Sandow, the DX Army, the 5-1 came out, there's more of us. Ever since they went 3 hours.
Well, Jay Knight, hold on. Jay Knight, this is a smart TV. It's not the newest one. It is a smart TV. YouTube is on there, not YouTube TV. So YouTube is on there. There's a few other apps. Actually, I think the WWE Network is on there. But so this is a smart TV. I did buy, what's that thing called? One of those little mini, a few years
Roku?
Ago. Fire Sticks. And I plugged it in, this was a couple years ago, and within 5 minutes, that thing was so hot to the touch, I thought it was going to just combust into a flame. So I pulled it out. So I'm a little leery when it comes to that stuff. But again, if anybody has any suggestions, then I'm all ears, because that's probably what I'm going to have to use with this thing. But anyway, go ahead.
Jason, I just got one more point. I know it's an AEW show. I know yesterday was the big, another anniversary, NWO. 7/7/1996, Hogan turns. But yesterday was also another beautiful 30th anniversary for Sting beating Ric Flair in Baltimore at the Great American Bash.
1990.
How come nobody brings that up?
1990.
How come nobody brings that up?
Well,
the 30th anniversary.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Because it gets overshadowed by the
wrestling.
But it gets overshadowed by what you just mentioned, the NWO. And you can understand why. There was nothing. The NWO, I don't think people like you and me, right, who were wrestling fans at that time, so like that was part of our fandom. I don't think if you are a newer wrestling fan or if you're too young where you weren't even born or you weren't watching back then, I don't think you can really understand how big that moment was. And now you can look back on it and the hope, just the fact that, at the table. The fact that Hogan turned heel and you had this new faction of guys who were like the invading force, it was the whole business changed. And so you can understand why that would sort of overshadow everything else. I agree. Sting and Flair, that was a big payoff. Sting had gotten hurt, so they had to delay it, and then Sting came back and it was this big moment. But it was nowhere near as big a moment as the NWO stuff. So you can understand that.
I'm just saying every year everybody makes a little memes about the NWO, you know, when they change wrestling. But you know, hey, it was Sting's day too that day. That's all. But
absolutely.
Good show tonight. I did not want to change the channel like I did last week, but the main event was great. I don't know if it was Benoit versus Jericho, but Cassidy, hey, Jason, you can hold yourself in the ring, man. You are very, very good.
I try. I self-taught myself. So I will say that. I learned what I could, just the basics, you know, and I did my best. So what else can you ask
I'm
going to
leave with one thing.
Sure.
One more thing. Omega turns on Paige.
Why? Why would he turn?
To make him. Couple months down the line to make him in a big match. And a year ago, nobody cared about Adam Page when he was in they cared, but the global audience now we have reasons to start caring about Adam Page.
But so you're saying to make him. I understand what you mean by that, but I'm talking in storyline. Give me a reason why. What have we seen from Kenny Omega that would cause him? Because things have been good lately. It's not even like, right, but things lately have been good, so why it would totally be out of character for him? What is the rationale behind Kenny Omega turning on Adam Page?
The Elite turns heel. He joins them. They start the companies. They're the EVTs. He's not. There's got to be, I know you're asking me for a Pacific Sports storyline. I don't have one. I'm just saying, I think that's what's going to, I don't know what's going to, how to get the point A to B on that one, but I just think that Omega turns on Paige because Paige is a different wrestler now than how over he is now than he was 6 to 8 months ago. You have to agree on that, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, it's night and day, and I I kind of don't like the idea of Paige being the one to, let's say, turn and go heel, because he was getting over big time as a face. Again, I don't know when they're going to get fans back in the buildings. It kind of sucks for him, but
yeah.
I don't see the Elite going heel, and I don't know that that would be a good idea. I mean, the Bucks going heel, it doesn't work for me. But the idea that Paige would stay face, I like, mm-hmm. but I don't even know that there has to be a turn. There could be a split without Omega just turning heel. I can't see Omega turning heel. I think it's a bad idea, because I think eventually you want to come back around to Omega and Moxley, maybe for the championship. And I guess you could do Omega Moxley with Omega as a heel, but I don't see it. I don't see it.
And I just one more point, Jason. I think next week Cage and Moxley ends in a DQ with Schmoz. I don't see a winner coming out of that one. I don't think they're going to pin Cage that quickly.
Yeah, that's very possible. But I think the point is, though, and you'll agree with me, that there will be no title change.
Oh, no title change whatsoever. Yeah. No way. No. Moxley needs to hold on to that title for a long time. For a while.
Always good to hear from you.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds
good luck, man. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you. That's Jared, fellow Optimum customer. So he knows my pain. I love how they changed the name, too. Like, it used to be Cablevision many years ago, and it was Optimum. Doesn't matter how many times you change your name. A turd is still a turd, no matter what you call it. A turd is a turd by any name. I got pieces of my bill all over the floor. I gotta clean this up now when I'm done. I ripped it up into little tiny pieces, and now it's all over the floor. V. Roski, thank you for the $5. Did you notice Kenny's beard growing in and darker hair? Time for the cleaner. Well, talk about a timely super chat here. This guy's talking about heel Omega. I actually did not notice that. I did not notice that, but I guess that's one observation. I don't see it. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just missing something here. Maybe I'm missing something here. But I do think that Paige should remain a babyface or like tweener, whatever it is, whatever role it is that he's been playing. Him, I would not turn. Oz and Glorious. Kenny the Cleaner for next AEW champion. Dry Chicken, any quick takes on Sasha's response to Booker T for critiquing Bayley? It's all a work, bro. It's all a work. Sasha's been posting pictures. She posted a picture earlier of doing like an old like Lita pose, like I'm better than Lita. She posted something else a few weeks ago thanking Vince McMahon for all the money that all the money and the millions of dollars I'm making and stuff. She just posts comments to get under people's skin. It's all a work. He also says, in the fall, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to North Florida and join AEW. That comes from Dry Chicken. You should call yourself Dry Chicken Without Flavor if you go to AEW. That's what you should do. I think that would work. I think that would work as a name. You might never get past AEW Dark with that name. I don't think you'll ever get on TNT, but I think that could be... Actually, you know what? I did want to mention this. Nothing to do with wrestling. Just a little detour real quick here. And then we'll just take a few more calls. I don't know how many of you are a fan of the Halloween movie franchise. I'm a huge fan of Michael Myers, the Halloween films. Of course, they kind of rebooted it last year. We had Jamie Lee Curtis came back. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So there are two more movies being made. Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. Halloween Kills is supposed to come out October this year, Halloween. Movie's done. And today they dropped a 30-second teaser trailer, which really was just a clip from the movie, just a 30-second chunk of the movie. It got me all hyped up, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I see at the very end, the new release date is October 15th, 2021. And I just sank. I was like, no. I was kind of, I understand why they're doing it. I was just kind of hoping that they would just put it out like a digital release or streaming release or something. But they want to put the, you know, they want to put it out in theaters. So, you know, they're delaying it by a year. I think it sucks. I'm probably still not going to go see it in a theater in a year. I just want to see it. You know, now it gets delayed by another 15 months. I'm all pissed off now. So that was kind of a punch to the gut. You show us this teaser and then you tell us that it's not coming out for another year. Why would you do that? Why would you do that to your fans? tease us like that and you pull the rug out from underneath us. It's not cool, man. It's not cool. 407.
Fall Monster.
That's me.
This is Alex. This is Alex, the Florida man.
Ah, Florida man. Florida's been in the news quite a bit lately.
Yeah, I'm born and raised, man. Born and raised. I'm actually a first-time caller.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you for answering my... So, I was actually more into the Great American Bash tonight, but I did catch that last match with Jericho and Orange Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, where do you see... And I had a feeling, I agreed with you in your prediction that Jericho was going to go over. But do you think we're ever going to get to a point where Orange Cassidy might start picking up speed, you know, maybe lowering down on the funniness a little bit and actually have like a serious run at some point?
Yeah, I think at some point. He can't keep doing this forever. It's just a matter of when is the right time. I think at some point, yeah, he'll get more serious and yeah, maybe he'll do like Will Ospreay and he'll show up 1 week and he'll be all bulked up to like 220 or 230 or something, and he'll be a totally different wrestler. The comedy stuff will only get you so far. At some point, he's going to have to just evolve and change things up. He's very talented. I mean, he can wrestle. We know that. Right now, though, I think you just kind of keep doing what you're doing, but at some point, you got to break away from the best friends. He doesn't need them. He can go off and do his own thing.
Yeah, and can I ask you one more thing?
Go for it.
Well, it's more of an observation than a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, earlier you said that, you know, you've learned the basics, you know, with your skills in the ring. But I don't buy that. I think you're pretty experienced. I saw your work in Ring of Honor with your American Dragon work, dude.
Mm. Well, I believe at that time they called me Baby Dragon, is what they called me whenever I would. Which is true, by the way. That's a shoot. I would show up at the building, and the guys that would rip the ticket would look at me, because they would see me every month. I'd be at the show. So they'd be like, oh, look, it's Baby Dragon. I'm like, eh, it's, So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not the first time I've heard that, though. But thank you.
Did you ever get that haircut? I usually listen voice-wise. I know you were complaining about your hair not that long ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you saw what it looked like before and you saw me now, you wouldn't ask that question. So yes. As soon as I had the opportunity to do so, I chopped that off as quickly as I could.
Well, hey, I'm a Florida man, so I was able to get my hair cut.
Well,
I'm glad you got it.
In Florida, apparently you can pretty much do anything you want.
I work, yeah. Well, hey, thank you for answering my call, Solid Monster. I look forward to, you know, interacting more again, maybe pop up on the super chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Call in next time.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy and be safe down there in Florida, because, of course, it's crazy. It's crazy down there right now. And by the way, a little programming note for everybody who is not aware of the schedule. We do have a pay-per-view coming up, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, Extreme Rules. Before then, I'll be back here next Wednesday live for Dynamite, probably the next day. So a week from tomorrow, I'm guessing I might be going live on YouTube to do my Extreme Rules predictions. So we'll have the stream going, the super chats and all that. That Sunday after Extreme Rules, I'll be back here live for the recap on YouTube. And that's when I'll be doing the Wrestle Rumble raffle. We'll have some fun, I hope, unless that swamp fight gets me all angry or something. But we'll be talking about Extreme Rules. So there's a lot of good content coming up. Let's do a couple more. Let's blast through a couple more here. I feel bad since we had a little delay at the beginning of the stream. So I got to make up for it here at the end. I think we have another New Yorker here, 646.
Hey, Solid Monster, it's me, JC Zephyr. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Glad you can make it through. What's on your mind?
Not much. Just wanted to say hi and stuff like that. And I did watch Fyter Fest, and I understand how you felt about the FTW championship. I probably was the only one that kind of marked out, considering I remember ECW back then and watching like Taz and his prime and all that good stuff. So, I wanted to ask you an interesting question. Has there been a wrestler that you weren't really a fan of, but you like that wrestler's movesets? Like me, for example, I know it might be an unpopular opinion to you because I know you're a bit of a fan of his work, or him maybe, I don't know, Matt Riddle. Like, I'm not a big fan of his. I mean, I like watching him wrestle, and his moveset is just, like, it's pretty good, you know, especially when he ends with the word bro this, bro that, like, bro mission, bro, you know, final flash knee strike, and the bro Derek, all that stuff. So, yeah, I just wanted to ask if there have been a wrestler that you aren't really a fan of or you're not really feeling, but you think his moveset is pretty good, his or her moveset.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there have been others that I could think. I mean, there's one that comes to mind. I mean, I hate to even bring him up, but Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin has certain moves in his moveset. And for a bigger guy, like in the one that sticks out to me is the deep six. You know, if he's in there with a small, especially a smaller guy, and they hit it just right, you know, there's a lot of fast moving action and momentum, and he hits that guy with the deep six, that's a pretty cool move. Even the End of Days.
Yeah. Now,
certain
like a fun move to take anyway.
Yeah, certain guys that I've seen him in the ring with, again, usually the smaller guys, if they can work a really clever way to finish a match, like I saw him once in NXT, and it's still to me the best End of Days I ever saw. It was in the, might have been the first ever Dusty Classic they did in NXT a few years ago. And it was Corbin and Rhino against American Alpha. And I still think about the finish of that match where I think it was Gable coming off the ropes, tilt-a-whirl, but he did like a tilt-a-whirl into an End of Days. Like, it was perfect. So Corbin, I'll give the devil his due. I mean, look, he's got a few. Those are only two I could think of. But, I mean, he's got a few moves that are pretty cool. It's just a shame that he's the one doing them. So.
Yeah, and just the fact you brought American Alpha kind of makes me sad because it still upsets me that they broke up that tag team the way they did and the way they were underutilized on the main roster.
Well, it's also too bad what happened.
But I do remember that.
Yeah, and it's also just too bad what happened to Jason Jordan, who may never wrestle again. You know, and he seems to have settled into a nice role for himself as a producer, but I'm sure he'd love to be back in the ring. He's still a young guy, and the fact that he may never wrestle again, he was showing a lot of promise there, too, when they were giving him his big push and everything, and then just, you know, the neck issue, whatever it is. That's too bad, because I think he would have been a big player in that company.
Yeah, there's a possibility. I mean, I personally did like Chad Gable a lot more out of them.
George, thank you.
I
just got to say, before he leaves, George in the chat, thank you, man. I know he's got to take off, but again, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I felt that, you know, Chad Gable had the personality. Of course, he had a good moveset. And funny enough that you mentioned Jason Jordan being a possible big major player in the company had he not had the injury. I remember he had the angle slam, and the funny thing is the name of his finisher was called Who's Your Daddy? So I just had to laugh.
Is that what it was? I didn't even
know
that.
I was like, I looked at his moveset back then. I was like, are you kidding me? I just had to laugh so loud at that. Who's your daddy? Like it's like H-O-S-S, I don't know, that kind of hype.
Daddy.
So
that's funny.
Yeah.
No, American Alpha was a great
thanks
team.
Again.
Yeah, American Alpha was a great
team. Yes, I agree. I was playing for them in the Dusty Classic too, but
yeah.
I mean, it was kind of predictable with who they were going with, so to tell a story.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. But thanks a lot, Solid Monster. Hope you have a good evening and you be safe, man.
Thank you, you too. Jason Jordan, remember he was getting the big push. He was having matches with big stars every week on TV, and he was tag team champions, I think, with Seth Rollins. And then you never know, man. All it takes is one injury, and your career could be over in a flash. Feel bad for him. But you never know, right? Edge came back after 9 years on the shelf, so who's to say we won't see Jason Jordan back in the ring one day? Right? 651? What do you think about that? Would you like to see Jason Jordan back in the ring one day?
I mean, I don't know. I don't watch WWE.
What an enthusiastic answer from 651 about seeing Jason Jordan back in the ring.
How you doing, Jason? It's Brandon from Florida.
Hey, Brandon.
Just got a few questions. First off, how come, like, Abaddon hasn't been on TV since her debut? Like, how come every time they bring, like, a new wrestler on TV, they just, like, disappear for a while and then you just, like, completely forget about them?
I agree. I don't know what the reason was for that. If she was there, obviously it shouldn't have anything to do with like a travel situation or anything like that. She made a huge impression that week. She squashed Anna Jay in 2 minutes, and I mean, she made an impression on me. And you're right, it's been, what, 3 weeks? We haven't seen her since. I think, yeah, maybe because they were heading into Fyter Fest, maybe, and she was new and they didn't have a role for her. But if she's not back on TV in the next week or two, I mean, what the hell are you guys doing? You know, you introduced this new character that I think they signed her. So she is signed, I believe. Use her, you know, start getting her on TV. You don't have to put her on every week, but yeah, let's see some more of her. Let's see some more of these people that you debut and then you never see them again. I mean, come on, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and then also, do you think that like AEW does like too much of like the flips and shit? Like during that tag team match, the fucking Canadian Destroyer, that took me completely out of the match. It was just like, it was a little too much of the flips over wrestling.
Yeah, probably too many. But you know what, though? I mean, given who was involved, you had to expect it. That's kind of their thing, right? It's just flips and fast motion and super kicks and the Lucha Bros. I mean, Phoenix is the one who really is doing all that crazy. The things that Phoenix can do, a human being should not be physically able to do it. Not too many people can do what he does. I almost don't even mind him doing it. But I think just in general, yeah, there's too many flips. There's too many dives. I like the Canadian Destroyer just because I had never seen that version of it before. I generally don't like when it's used and you know, finish your opponent off with it. But that was crazy. What he pulled off with Nick Jackson there was insane. But yeah, I mean, as a general rule, is there too much of that stuff? Yeah, there's too much of that stuff. I agree.
And then just one last question real quick. Shout out to my advocate, Turtlehead, and the group chat. I love you guys. I was born in 96. So I'm like a younger fan compared to like you.
Mm-hmm.
So how did WWE squander the $1 million belt? So like, what was the difference from the original run to when they brought it back with his son?
Oh, with his son. I thought you were going to talk about when they brought it back with Steve Austin as the ringmaster.
Or like just in general, what's the difference between like the $1 million belt, like when they used it and the back then to like, when they did recently?
Well, I mean, the biggest difference is that it wasn't Ted DiBiase Sr. Holding it. I mean, it was a championship that was created for him. It fit that character. It fit that gimmick to a T. I still remember the vignettes when they had him going in and out of the jewelry shop. I remember the one thing where he walked in wearing a cape. He goes, "I'm here!" Everybody was freaked out. And he would go in and they show, here's... because they were working on the belt. It's like, here's what it looks like. And then he debuted it, and it was beautiful, right? With all these diamonds. I think they said in reality the belt cost like $46,000 or $50,000 to make. Cubic zirconia or whatever it was actually made of. But it was his gimmick, right? You bring in the ringmaster, and you say, here's the $1 million belt. What does it mean? The ringmaster is not the $1 million man. You're the $1 million man. That belt was made for you. Kind of like the FTW title, although now the FTW title, you could actually probably make that work with somebody else who has like a similar attitude, but the $1 million belt is meant for the $1 million man, and his son Ted Jr. was not the $1 million man. No matter how hard they tried to make him the $1 million man, I've never seen somebody put with a beautiful woman before, like Maryse. And feel and just look so uncomfortable in my life. Like if they put me in, if they said, listen, you're going to be working with Maryse. Are you kidding me? I'd be coming into where I'd be the first one at the building. I'd be coming to work early every day. Okay, let's go over what we're going to do tonight. You know, I'd be on cloud nine. This guy looked like he'd rather be anywhere else because I guess, you know, he was very religious and he had his wife and maybe his wife didn't like them being together. I don't know, but that didn't work out. It was very short-lived. Ted DiBiase Jr. was not his father. Ted DiBiase Jr. was a good wrestler. Ted DiBiase Jr. is somebody who John Cena once said he thought was going to be a WrestleMania main eventer one day. He told me. John Cena told me that he thought Ted DiBiase Jr. was going to be a WrestleMania main eventer one day when I had the chance to interview him briefly WrestleMania weekend in Miami when he was getting ready to wrestle The Rock. You know, I actually asked him a couple of questions. One of the other questions was, Is there anybody else, young up-and-coming guy on the roster, who you're impressed by, who you might want to work with one day? His answer was Cody Rhodes. But that just goes to show you that there were people who really thought that this guy was going to blow up and be somebody big. And within a couple of years, poof, he was gone. He was out of the company. He was out of the business. I don't think he's wrestling anymore. I think he's, you know, civilian life. That belt was meant for one person. That's why it didn't work with anybody else, because it just was never meant to work with anybody else. It couldn't. That gimmick, it was just so 80s. It worked. Everything just worked back then. You can't expect to take everything from that period and transplant it 10, 15, 20 years later and think that it's going to work. You need the right person. He had the charisma of a doorknob. His son had the charisma of a doorknob. He might be a nice guy. I've seen blocks of wood that have more personality than Ted DiBiase Jr. It was never going to work. It was never going to work. Quentis Brown, thank you for the $5. Your thoughts on Cody against Sonny Kiss for next week? I would prefer Cody face somebody outside of AEW. Now, is that your guess, or is that something that's been announced? I think it's, again, it's not like the outcome is in doubt there, but I mean, look, if it turns out to be Sonny Kiss, big night for Sonny Kiss. Biggest match of his life. But again, I don't know if you're just guessing on that, or is that something that's been announced? I don't know. Maybe somebody in the chat can shed some more light on that for me. Finally here, let us go. So many, but we've got to wrap it up here shortly. Let's go to 305.
Hi, Jason. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. Jason, I have a question, actually, with this FTW title. I think, honestly, it would fit that person. That type of attitude fits the best with a guy like Moxley, not Cage. Cage doesn't seem... That seems really, like, to fit... You would have to push it really hard to fit Cage's personality, because he doesn't remind me of Taz at all. When I look at Moxley, his personality kind of reminds me of Taz. Like, he doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't trust anybody. He's like a mixture of Austin and Taz, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, for what the FTW title, I think, was back then, and the kind of... I don't know, rebel, if you want to call him that, or badass that Taz was supposed to be. You know, Brian Cage is physically, you know, he's this specimen. He goes in there, he throws people around. He's impressive in that way, and he's an athletic guy, but it's a very different persona than the one that Taz had. So even this is a bit of a stretch. You know, if you were going to say, who would be a modern-day person who would be a good fit for the FTW title? Brian Cage would not be in my top five, right? Somebody like you said, like
even Moxley wouldn't?
No, I think Moxley probably would. I think Moxley, even a Darby or somebody, would be a better fit. So it doesn't mean they can't make it work. But I agree, though. It doesn't really fit, I think, what that championship was conceived to be. He's not the best person.
This is a hypothetical, and this is a hypothetical. Let's say there's issues with both Roman and Seth not wanting to show up for their health problems for like pay-per-views or shows, like tape shows, like SmackDown or Raw. Hypothetically, let's say they ask, they're big enough to where they can ask for their to be out of their contracts for WWE. How would you debut them in AEW if they would go to AEW, and would you put them in a stable with Jon Moxley?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, that's just rehashing what's already been done. I mean, it's kind of a silly question in that it's never going to happen anyway. You know, Rollins has been showing up every week. The only thing I would say about Rollins is he has a pregnant, are they married yet? Or are they still engaged? They're still engaged, right? He's got a pregnant fiance. So we may get to a point where he makes a decision in a few months where he's like, you know what? I'm gonna take a little time off here. just to play it safe. So I won't rule out the possibility that Seth Rollins could end up like a Roman Reigns, taking some time away for family reasons and safety reasons. Them going to AEW, look, for AEW would be huge, but it's not going to happen. How would I debut them? I mean, Roman Reigns would be positioned as a top guy in the company because that's just the right spot for him to be in. And Seth Rollins would be positioned in a similar way. I would bring them in together. Almost like a Hall, like a Hall and Nash type thing. I'm not copying off the NWO, but I do think that you know, them coming in together as kind of buddies and, oh, this is the competition, huh? I guess it is kind of like an NWO type way, but that's probably what I would do. Then they can, you know, be buddies, but branch off and do their own thing. Reforming the Shield. I mean, there's just no originality in that. I mean, come on. Yeah, you could tease it. You could tease it, but like right out of the gate, you just bring them back in and put them all back together. Yeah. I guess there could be money in that, but I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would do that. And 416.
Is this the Jack Swagger hotline?
This is the Jack Swagger, John Laurinaitis, Daniel Bryan, Orange Cassidy hotline.
I figured.
Does that cover every white guy that I've been compared to? Who else? Who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing people here.
I'm kind of saying.
Dennis the Menace?
Kind of saying. Maybe.
Okay.
I was going to ask, somewhere down the line, if and when Adam Cole moves to the main roster, do you think they could put him on SmackDown and maybe do a storyline with Adam Cole being the long-lost son of Michael Cole? What are your thoughts?
You know, I joked about that a long time ago, and now that I hear you say it out loud, it's kind of sad. Like, I wouldn't put anything past them. I would not put anything past them, and you know what the scary thing is? That I bet you if Michael Cole stood in the ring to do an in-ring interview with Adam Cole, he might be taller than Adam Cole, and he would never live that down. So... you know, Adam Cole being the long lost son of Michael Cole, would I do it? No, of course I wouldn't do it. Would WWE do it? Yes, I believe they would. I think I could picture the conversation happening. I think Bruce would enjoy it. Bruce, yes, Bruce. I could see that being a Bruce idea. AEW Dynamite doing very well. Vote. At Solomonster and NXT also. Actually, you know what? NXT is nipping at the heels. Look at this. This is the closest that these polls have been in many, many weeks. Usually AEW has a fairly, fairly sizable lead, but AEW is only up by about one percentage point, maybe a percentage and a half. Look at this. Your vote can make all the difference right now. Go ahead and vote at Solomonster. Polls are going to be open for another couple of days. You can let me know what you thought of both shows. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You got any coal miners in the chat? Remember the coal miners? I was not a coal miner. I did get a kick out of some of the stuff that Cole did in the, you know, his little box that he did the announcing from. And when Lawler pulled his tie and his face was all mushed against the glass. I did enjoy that. But that is not an era of WWE television that I aspire to go back and watch. I find that there's a lot of replay value for, like, the early stuff, like 80s, early 90s. There's, like, no replay value whatsoever from that period of WWE. It's the biggest thing that's missing from wrestling these days. The replay value. How much wrestling do you watch where you go, you know what, I'm going to go back and watch that in a few weeks? It's like none. Not in WWE. It's like we're in this era now where, like, I watch it, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good. I got it up here. I think I'm good. There's no replay value. Dry chicken without flavor. Look at that. Look at Brandy Rhodes. She is disgusted. Who will win the New Japan Cup? Probably Okada. That's what I'm guessing. They might be going maybe for like a Wrestle Kingdom rematch. But it should have been Sonata, damn it. Should have been Sonata. All right, guys, listen. I'm glad that I really thought this stream was not going to happen after those tech issues at the beginning. I made one change. I don't know why that happened. I'm hoping that it doesn't happen again the next time I go live. But thank you for bearing with me. I feel like nobody left. You guys stuck with me for those 10 or 15 minutes. So I appreciate that. And hopefully in a few weeks, once we get the Fios going, hopefully things will be even better. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for all of the super chats tonight. We got another one. We still got super chats. I won't go anywhere. If we got super chats coming in, I'll stay with you. I'll stick. I don't want to miss anybody. I'll stick around. Oz and Glorious. Will Marty Scurll get canned from Ring of Honor and come to AEW? Well, look, if Marty Scurll, I know Ring of Honor right now is doing their investigation into the allegations against Scurll and I guess other people in the company. And we don't know what the investigation is going to yield. It's still possible that they could find reason to get rid of Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll is not just a wrestler in Ring of Honor. It would be a total mess. Marty Scurll is the head booker. He signed a very sweet contract in, I think, December it was, when he re-signed with Ring of Honor. He's the wrestler and the booker. So if he left, it would be a big hole for them to fill. But the reason that he would be leaving, if AEW swept in and picked him up, it would look horrible. It would make them look absolutely terrible. So no, I don't see that happening. I think it would be a huge mistake. If Ring of Honor finds cause to actually fire the guy, and I don't think they will, but if they do, why would AEW, just from a PR perspective, why would they just swoop in and snatch him up? That would be a terrible decision. I don't care who he's friends with in that company. The guy's going to be toxic for a while. You stay away. At least for a little while. Be very surprised. That would be a big misstep, a very dumb move on their part. If Ring of Honor gets rid of him, believe me, that they found something that caused them to go, you know what? We don't want to do business with this guy. So I don't know why Ring of Honor or AEW, rather, would feel any differently about that. So let's follow that story, I guess, in the next few weeks. And we'll see if there's any update on the Marty Scurll stuff. So that's all I got. Thank you again for joining me tonight. Oh, we got more coming in. $5 Disappointed Solid Monster. Oz and Glorious. Love the show. Well, I'm glad you love the show. As long as you love the show, I'll keep doing the show. I'm going to be back with you for episode 661 of The Sound Off this Sunday. All the usual shenanigans, all the top stories. Next week will be a busier week. We got live AEW Dynamite Wednesday night. We'll probably have a live stream, maybe Thursday, doing predictions for Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules will be next Sunday, and I hope you'll join me then. That's going to be a big night as well, the big giveaway. So we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic week, and I will see you guys for the Sound Off this weekend, and for more AEW Dynamite right here, as we are every Wednesday at 10 p.m. or 10:05, live on YouTube. Until then, take care, guys.